John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I welcome Joseph Sternberg. He's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column based in London. And we begin in the United Kingdom to observe the virus, the vaccine, Europe, and, of course, a walk in the park with Joe, how London is doing, coming out of the lockdown, the second, third, or fourth lockdown, or one great big lockdown since the spring of 2020. We begin, however, with a story that combines virus, vaccine, lockdown, and also the wonderful city of Bath, which is featured in all the Jane Austen novels. And to my knowledge, there isn't an English Royal Navy novel written that doesn't have Bath in it, because that was the fashionable retreat of the aristocracy for the 17th, 18th, and much of the 19th century. Well, right now it's in the news because a publican, that's a fancy word for a man who keeps a pub, a publican got into a fisticuffs with the leader of the opposition, Keir Starmer, the labor leader, over the question of lockdowns. The name of the pub, by the way, it's in Bath, is The Raven. So it reads Publican in The Raven at Bath. Fisticuffs with Keir Starmer. Joe, what in the world is going on? What was the fight about and how did Keir Starmer do? Good afternoon. Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, so this kerfuffle is about the lingering political legacy of the lockdowns that the UK has been through over the past year. So British politicians find themselves in the uncomfortable position of having to go to the voters in just a few short weeks for local government elections across the country. This is the closest thing that the UK has to a US-style midterm election, which, you know, as listeners know, is always a barometer on how the government of the day is doing. And so British politicians are campaigning furiously up and down the country. And apparently they're not the only ones who are doing something furiously, because they are discovering that some of the actual voters out in the countryside are not happy with what's been going on the past year. And what was interesting here, that you have this small business owner criticizing the leader of the Labour Party, one of the major politicians in the UK, Keir Starmer, for not having done Starmer's job of being an effective opposition politician. And the thing that the pub owner was unhappy about specifically seems to be that Starmer chose to oppose the government by not opposing the lockdown. You know, Labour's position for the past year has always been the government should be stricter. They should do harsher lockdowns for longer, that lock down more people and shut down more things. And this guy was saying, no, 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 we wanted you to oppose in the other direction. We needed someone who would oppose the government by arguing for more openness, rethinking whether some of these restrictions were really the best way to deal with the COVID threat.
Get out of my pub, said Mr. Humphreys, Rod Humphreys, the publican. You are not allowed in my pub. That man, he says, is not allowed in my pub. Get out of my pub. Joe, this is wonderful street-level politics. Rod Humphreys, the hero here, is restrained by a very large security official traveling with the labor leader. What is striking about this is that I can imagine every head in Great Britain nodding at this. The lockdowns wrecked businesses, damaged lives. And I don't hear at this point an honest debate. In the old days, there would have been a committee, maybe a white paper, maybe a debate in Parliament about what we did and why we did it and the effects on the people. But I don't read that now. What I see is that, as you say, Labour wanted more strict. Go to Scotland. You can have more strict. And Boris Johnson apologized for being strict. I'm beginning to think that we have here in Mr. Humphreys a representation not only of the United Kingdom, but also a large part of America saying, what did you achieve? You wrecked our lives. You wrecked our business. Joe, is this on the television? The fact that people are now pushing back against the parliament after a year of being locked up?
Well, we'll see what kind of coverage this sort of incident ends up getting, and especially if there are more incidents like this where politicians are really getting it from the voters over the lockdown policy. Partly because there's a structural problem here where the media in the UK is, first off, much smaller than in the U.S., and for the most part is even less diverse than the U.S. media in terms of the range of opinions about lockdown. The media coverage here has always been very supportive of the idea of more and stricter lockdowns. Now, what's interesting about this for everyone, and especially for the politicians, is the what could be the emerging divergence between what politicians are hearing from real, living, breathing, speaking, fighting human voters on the campaign trail, and what opinion polls have been saying for the past year. Because if you look at the opinion polls, people are telling pollsters that this lockdown is one of the most popular things that any British government has ever done. Certainly, the poll suggests it is the most popular thing that Boris Johnson has ever done, the Prime Minister. And so that has led a lot of politicians to really embrace the more lockdown, you know, all lockdown all the time policy approach, because that's what the polls were telling them voters wanted. Well, what if it turns out voters were saying that because that's kind of what they thought was the right position to take, but in their personal lives, they have a much more finely honed understanding or sensibility about the costs of these policies and are actually going to end up being much less forgiving over the medium or longer term of the politicians who did it. That's one of the reasons this is going to be such an interesting local election next month.
The United Kingdom and India are intimately entwined, have been for several centuries, and yet Boris Johnson cancels his visit to India. The reason given is that he's concerned about variants of the coronavirus. This is puzzled, Joe. Boris Johnson would be extremely well protected on his visit to India. Mr. Modi is an integral part of the success of India these last days, but right now India is going through a bad patch. The variants are to the reporting out of India. The variants are running over the population. Is Boris's cancellation seen as bold, as the right thing to do? He did recover from COVID. He has had his vaccines.
Well, there are two issues here, and I actually think that kind of the lesser issue is whether this particular official visit would go ahead. I think that the bigger controversy surrounding India right now is the fact that the government has just announced they are going to put India on the red list of countries where people who were only British nationals will be allowed to travel to the UK from India for the foreseeable future. And those who do come back are now going to have to do this hotel quarantine system that you and I have spoken about in the past, where it will be very expensive and they will have to lock themselves into a hotel room for 10 days after they arrive. And, you know, this is a really interesting, strange step for the government, because everywhere else, all of the pressure on Boris's government is to open up international travel right now. There is huge pressure for some kind of vaccine passport system that would still allow people to go on their summer holidays abroad. There's a lot of frustration from the travel industry, from the airlines, from hoteliers, from tour operators and travel agents who are really desperate for the government to lift all of these restrictions. There's a lot of frustration from people who've had the vaccine and now think that they ought to be able to move around. And yet you have this imposition of travel restrictions on a major country that sees a lot of travel between the UK and India. So it's a sign that, you know, that there's this incoherence there where the government is kind of moving in one direction when everyone else seems to want the direction of travel to be going somewhere else.
The Scottish version of the lockdown was more severe than the United Kingdom version, but people are now allowed to travel in Scotland, and there's less contrast between the two countries. That has been true for Wales for some time. So in general, Joe, I would say this week for Britain, at least reading the newspapers, you're living there, looks as if it's moving towards a complete opening, which will come May 17th. Has there been any discord this week about moving the story to open the whole country, or is all in keeping for that date?
Well, I think that the big pressure right now is surrounding why the reopening is moving as slowly as it is, because the overarching health story here is terrific. Falling deaths, falling hospitalization, falling instances of serious illness from COVID. And people are wondering why it is taking as long for the reopening to happen as it is. And I think that is, that pressure is going to grow as people start experiencing more of the ordinary lives that they've lost over the past year, as we do have some of these gradual reopening steps as you've had in England and Scotland, as you increasingly are also having in Wales and Northern Ireland.
Lex Greensill. That's a real name. That's not a made-up name. Lex Greensill. This is a story that I was reading with entertainment until suddenly Keir Starmer, the very same Labour leader, gave me a center for the story. He said, this is more Tory sleaze. I thought, Tory sleaze? I don't know what that is. Joe, Tory sleaze. Now, Keir Starmer's job is to oppose the Conservatives, Mr. Johnson. That's his name. But I didn't know that Tory sleaze was an institution. What is the significance of Lex Greensill and members of the cabinet, present and past, making phone calls for them, for him, for his failed business? Is this not routine? That's what we call lobbying.
This is a strange little scandal that is a reminder that no matter what's going on in the rest of the world, politicians will always end up doing things that can end up looking scandalous later on. Lex Greensill ran a company that was involved in various bits of financial services, often to do with trade finance. That company failed earlier this year. They had to be wound up in a sort of bankruptcy proceeding. And now there are all of these questions about, efforts that company might have made and the way that company might have enlisted current or former public officials in the UK, including former Prime Minister David Cameron, to try to lobby on the company's behalf when it was still a going concern, including the suggestion that David Cameron might have tried to lobby the current Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, the British equivalent of the Treasury Secretary in the U.S., that David Cameron might have tried to lobby Sunak to get some kind of government support for Greensill's company, during the pandemic last year. Now, what's kind of weird about that is that if there was any kind of scandalous lobbying going on here, it was not very effective because, so far as I've seen, that government support never actually materialized. So in that sense, you could argue that the system kind of worked the way it's supposed to. But it does periodically raise, you get episodes like this that will raise questions about the close connections between, various current or former politicians and government officials and the companies that they're regulating. And that is even more pressing as an issue in European countries, including the United Kingdom, where the government just does a lot more regulating. So there is much more incentive for companies to try to lean on the scales any way that they can.
Joseph Sternberg writes the political economics column for the Wall Street Journal. He's a member of the editorial board. He's based in London. When we come back, vaccine nationalism is doing very well, thank you. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.